Now let us turn to the Word of God for a short scripture reading and invite you to open your Bible in the Old Testament. And we're turning to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And that's immediately after the book of Proverbs. Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And we want to consider some words that were spoken and written by the wisest of the kings of Israel, King Solomon himself. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, we read, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." End of reading there, verse 6, and we know what God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Many years ago in the city of Leicester, there was a famous preacher by the name of Dr. F.B. Meyer. He was a contemporary of C.H. Spurgeon, Joseph Parker, and many other great men of God. He had a very wonderful ministry and preaching, and also he was the author of many wonderful books that have been a blessing and a great legacy for Christians even to this day. Dr. F.B. Meyer wrote also his own autobiography relating his experiences during a long and fruitful ministry. As he comes towards the end of his autobiography, he makes this statement, and he said, "I have one great regret as a pastor, and that was that I didn't give more time to the ministry of encouragement." And it's true to say that no matter who you are or what place you're at in your spiritual life, that all of us need the oxygen of encouragement from time to time to help us to go on with the Lord. Dr. F.B. Meyer, on one occasion, was traveling from his manse by bus to the church where his office was. And every day that he got on the bus during the weekday, there was a wee woman there, and she was all, was sat facing the old doctor, and she was very bright and jolly. And then for a week or so she didn't appear, and he wondered what had happened to her. And then it turned out she turned up again on a Monday morning on the bus, and it just seemed that her world had come to an end. And he spoke to her very gently, and he asked her what was wrong, what the problem was. And she said, "Well, you know, Dr. Meyer, I was a widow, but I had one great joy in life, and I had a crippled daughter who was bedridden. And after I was finished cleaning houses during the day, I loved to go home and open the door and go in and meet with my daughter and spend the rest of the evening with my daughter. But my daughter died," and she said, "I'm heartbroken, and it just seems as if the sun will never shine again." And the old doctor paused, and then he looked at her and he said, "Dear, when you go home tonight, will you do something for me?" She was a believer. And he said, "I want you to do this for me. When you put your hand in your handbag and bring out the key and put it in the door, before you open the door, turn the key to open the door, you say, 'Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're behind this door and you've promised never to leave me nor forsake me. And so the next day she appeared, and my, she was just changed, and she had taken the advice, and she realized that even in her darkest hour that the Lord Jesus Christ was with her in the valley. And she could say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And it's a great thing for a pastor and for brothers and sisters in the Lord to encourage one another. W.P. Nicholas, the great evangelist, was not only a great preacher of the gospel, but he was a great encourager to many of God's people. And he had what was called the Nicholson doxology. And you know the little chorus, down in the dumps, I'll never go. And he loved to be the choir master and to get the people to sing, down in the dumps, I'll never go. But he was unpredictable. And he would get the people to sing that little chorus by way of doxology. And then he would look at them and he would say, you're a bunch of liars, a whole lot of yous. You're sitting there singing, down in the dumps, I'll never go. And you're always down in the dumps. We're going to sing it again, but this time we're going to sing, down in the dumps, I'll never stay. That's where the devil gets his way. I'll sing with all my might. I'll keep my armour bright. Down in the dumps, I'll never go. Now the reason why I'm explaining these things is not the first that I want to leave with you tonight. The opening verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is one of the greatest verses and gospel texts to be found in the whole of the Word of God. And the one who is greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, would say to each one of us this evening, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And as you look at this verse, there are three simple truths that I want to highlight very briefly. And I want you to see, first of all, there's a great task to be done. There's a great task to be done. What does Solomon mean when he says, cast thy bread upon the waters? Well, I believe Solomon here is referring to an event that took place not in Israel and Palestine, but rather in the land of Egypt. And if you're familiar with the background of Egypt and the geography, you'll notice that for the greater part, the River Nile makes its way like a snake through the land of Egypt. And what happens when it comes to the time for sowing? The fields would be adjacent, alongside the River Nile, would be submerged in water. The River Nile would overflow its banks, and all the fields adjacent belonging to the farmer would be totally submerged in water. And what the Egyptian farmer does is he gets his little sailing craft along with a son or a servant, and he loads it up with bread or seed corn. And that's really the word in the Hebrew there. Cast thy seed corn upon the waters. And he would spread upon the waters. He would cast it upon the waters. And it would submerge. It would fall down into Mother Earth. And there it would lie. And eventually, after many days, there would be the harvest. And he would go out along with his workers. And he would gather in the harvest. And you know, this speaks of a great task to be done. And it's a task that we need to realize as believers. There's no reaping without the sowing. I want you to get that principle. There's no reaping without the sowing. The law of the harvest is this. If you're going to reap, then you must sow the seed. Do you remember the Lord Jesus in the parable of the sower? He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And if we're going to reap the harvest, then we've got to realize there's a great task to be done. And the Lord would say to each one of us, son, go work in my vineyard. Be a laborer, not a loafer. and realize there's a task to be done, and there's a world and a neighborhood to be reached with the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a pastor on one occasion gave a great challenge about witnessing for the Lord. And afterwards, this young man came to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, you know, I was really challenged by your message, but I just can't speak. I just can't open my mouth to witness to anybody." The pastor was a very wise man. He said, "Is that right, son?" He said, "Tell me about that new motorbike that you got there a couple of weeks ago." Boy, did the young fellow open up. He talked about the motorbike and how easily she could do the ton and all the rest of it, and the latest model and what it had. And he went on and on about the motorbike. And the pastor just listened quietly. And then when he'd expended himself and said all he had to say, the pastor just looked at him and he said, "Son, you know, if you loved the Lord the way you love your motorbike, you'd have no difficulty talking about him." It is not true. What you love, you want to talk about. Did you ever meet a fella or a girl who's fallen in love? Well, I used to see this place where I worked, there's maybe 400 or 500 people. And you would get a fella and he'd meet up with a girl and he would talk about the girlfriend. And then he would get married and he would talk about the wife. And then he would bring out a photograph from the place nearest the heart, his hip pocket. And he'd bring out a photograph and he would say, "This is the wife." And the old bakers used to say, "Oh, are you sure that's not your mother? She's a lovely looking woman." Taking the hand out of him. But you know what you love? You speak about it, isn't it the same? My grandchildren. Grandparents love to speak about their grandchildren. I heard about a man and he said to his friend, "Have I told you yet about my grandchildren?" And he said, "No, and I appreciate that very much." But you know what you love? Want to speak about. And you remember John, the beloved disciple, in that lovely epistle, and he's speaking on behalf of the whole church, and he says, "We love him because he first loved us." And if you really have the love of Christ shed abroad by the Holy Spirit in your heart, then you'll want to speak of the one who's the Savior of your soul. A great task to be done. I'll never forget one day driving along in the car and had the radio on. I think it was about 3 o'clock to hear the news. And there was a big announcement. And the broadcaster simply said, "The king is dead." And I wondered what king is this, for we had a queen. And then he went on to explain that the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, had died. And it was said that within the space of 24 hours, every nation in the world was talking about the death of Elvis Presley, the king. Then I thought of another king outside the city wall, the Lord Jesus Christ, the young Prince of Glory, at 33 and a half years, who laid down his life, and yet there's still untold millions have never heard the message of the gospel. Oh, that God would awaken his church, that God would give us a vision and a burden, and that we would be witnesses for the Savior in these days. But then I want you to see not only a great task to be done, but thank God there's a great triumph to be discovered, a great triumph to be discovered. Listen to what it says. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And here you have one of the great and exceeding precious promises of the Word of God. If we cast our bread upon the waters, if we're faithful, then God will make his seed and his word fruitful, and thou shalt find it after many days. And you know, that suggests two things to me. First of all, the patience that we need to exercise. We need to be patient. Some people have the idea you sow and then you reap. And we live in a day of instant things, don't we? Instant coffee, instant potatoes. And I hate instant potatoes. If I ever go to your house, please don't serve me up instant potatoes. Can't beat the old cumber potatoes. Sure you can't. But you know, the Egyptian farmer, he needs to exercise patience. There's the sowing, and then there's the waiting, and then eventually there's the reaping. And sometimes we get discouraged and we become weary and well-doing simply because of a lack of patience in the work of God. You know, it was said of General Booth, and he's one of my favourite characters, by the way, did a great work. General Booth was a very impatient man. You know, the type of person that wants something done yesterday. A bit like my wife, she wants something done. She wants it done yesterday, done right away. Good job she's not here tonight. But you know, he said to a young officer on one occasion, here's something I want you to do for me. And the next day he met up with the young officer and he said, did you do that job for me? And with tongue in cheek, the young officer said, General, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, sir. The old general said, as quick as a flash, that's because I wasn't in charge. Sometimes we're like that. Oh, the patience we need to exercise. And there's a promise we need to embrace. Thou shalt find it after many days. That's a tremendous promise to lean upon when you're discouraged. You feel like throwing in the towel, giving up, and said, I've had enough. To realize there's a promise to encourage us here. Thou shalt find it after many days. Now I believe grace and providence work together. Where you're born can have a very important impact upon your life. And I thank God I was born into a little kitchen house in the city of Belfast on Rosland Street. And there was 9 children, one boy, or one girl rather, better get that right. One girl, she was the oldest one out, and then there was 8 boys. And you know, it was the days of hand-me-downs. And you know, I was third in the line, and I hated wearing my sister's dresses. They never seemed to fit. I'm only jesting. But you know, right across the street from us, there was a little mission hall. I was actually preaching in it last night. And in the year 1859 was the anniversary of the great 1859 revival. And preachers were gathered in from all over the place. America, Oswald Smith, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and many others. And in the Emmanuel Hall, they invited a young evangelist by the name of Johnny Bassanio. He became a pastor of a congregation of something like 30,000 people eventually, and president of the Baptist Convention in America. A great young man, very gifted, a trumpet player. And I went along one night just to hear this trumpet player. And as I sat in that meeting, that night I heard the message of the gospel that Christ died for me on the cross. And if I was the only sinner that ever lived, Christ would have still had to set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem and die in the middle cross of Calvary. And that night, as they were singing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And the evangelist said, he said, now if you want to come to Christ, I want you to walk the aisle, come to the front, and publicly confess that you're a sinner and you want to be saved. And that night, I went forward. And it so happened, the man who dealt with me was a Mr. James Phillips. And he was a Sunday school superintendent in charge of the children's meeting. And I tell you, we were rowdy, we were rough, but they sowed the word of God. And I can remember, after I had left school and gone out into the world and enjoying the things of the world, and even in a dance hall or a public house, 17 years of age, verses of scripture that I learned through this Sunday school superintendent and faithful teachers come into mind and speak into my heart. And he used to say, Lord, whatever you do, don't come tonight. I'm not saved. I'm not ready. And who was there at the front and pointed me to Christ? John Phillips. And I've often thought of that promise, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And John Phillips knelt down, and he opened up John 3:16. And he said, for God so loved Stanley Barnes that he gave his only begotten son, that if Stanley Barnes would believe in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. And he pointed me to the Saviour. You know, one of the greatest privileges I had was being asked to preach at his funeral service. I'm so indebted to a faithful Sunday school teacher. And maybe there's someone here tonight and you have heard and heard and heard repeatedly the message of the gospel, but you have hardened your heart. And the Lord would say to you tonight, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. For hard do you know, but your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight. The patience we need to exercise, the promise we need to embrace. But notice there's not only a great task to be done, and a great triumph to be discovered, but there's a great truth to be declared. Did you ever stop and think that this verse is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament? You see, in the scriptures, you'll find in the prophetic scriptures that waters are very often used as the symbol of the nations. For example, in Revelation 17:1 and Revelation 17:15, and the scarlet woman sat upon the waters, and the waters are interpreted as the nations of the earth. And the way back just over 2,000 years ago, a God of love and of mercy and of grace saw you as an individual. And on your behalf, he cast his bread upon the waters. And he spared not his own son, but he freely delivered him up for us all. And God loves you tonight, not only with an eternal love, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He loved you before you were born, but he loves you with a sacrificial love, that he spared not his own son. He gave him up to go the whole way to Calvary and to die on the middle cross on your behalf. Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Mr. Spurgeon said that the cream of theology is in that word substitute. And Christ died as a substitute. He took your sins and your sorrows, all your foul, filthy sins of imagination and action. And thank God, God led them upon his son at the cross. And because he was wounded, thank God we are healed and have a full and free salvation. You know, some years ago in the city of Belfast, there was a road sweeper, dear Roman Catholic gentleman. He was sweeping the streets and he happened to look down and he noticed a bit of paper that was different. It wasn't a £10 note or anything like that. It was just glossy paper. Somehow it looked different and he stooped down and he picked it up and he began to read it. And there was a half of a page of John chapter 3 and the story of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. And he read down and he came to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And there the page was torn in two. And he wondered, what was it that God gave? What was this that God gave? And he took the piece of paper and he folded it up carefully, put it in his pocket, and he went home. And after tea, he said to Mary, "Will I show you something I found today?" And he took out the piece of paper and he showed it to her. And he said, "Look at these words, for God so loved the world that he gave." Mary, what did God give out of his love? She said, "I don't know." I think that's a page from the Bible. And so they got a Bible and they were able to read the whole verse and the whole chapter. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And both of them knelt down and claimed God's gift of salvation through faith in Christ. And you know, isn't it amazing that a dear Roman Catholic man converted through one verse of the Bible, and yet maybe you as a Protestant, you could say John 3:16 backwards from your childhood, and yet we can say the summer has ended, the harvest is past, and you are still not saved. You know, a brother in the prayer meeting tonight, he quoted the verse, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." And the Bible reminds us, does it not, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, tomorrow could be eternity hidden from your view. I think of those people who died that horrible death in that container, 39 of them, young and old. Not one of them, when they got into that container, realized that they were going to lose their lives. Life's just like that. It's so uncertain. You know not what a day may bring forth. And thank God tonight, the door of opportunity is open and you can come just as you are as a sinner. Pray the sinner's prayer as I did. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And you can know the joy and the peace of God's forgiveness and the assurance of a home in heaven. Oh, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, it's time you closed in with God's free gift of salvation. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. May the Lord write his precious word upon our hearts. We're going to conclude.